I want to do a little bit of a teaching today about this parsha, Tazria. And I want to do it in part because the material for a modern person can create a fissure between themselves and God, or between themselves and the tradition. So yes, this particular parsha deals with the eruptions of the skin and of the body and of flows that come out of it. And that's not the part that ought to disturb us. In fact, that's part of the brilliance of the Torah that we ought to admire, that nothing is off limits, and that if we're talking about God and the Torah and an understanding of life, the notion that some subjects might be too polite for society is very adverse to the Torah's way of dealing with deep reality. And anyone of a certain age knows that our body, our skin, does not always do what we want it to, and that there is a challenge, sometimes shame, in the way we can experience that. So this notion of Tazria, of biblical leprosy, has with it some other artifacts, though, that I think do cause people problems. There's a section in our reading that a woman in this sort of a state is not to go to the central temple, the central site, the tent of meeting, or to touch anyone and make them impure. And from a misunderstanding of this section, a bubamaiser superstition arose as to why women could not touch a sefer Torah for fear that their impurity would be transmitted to the Torah. It's a misunderstanding, but it was a very strong part of the tradition, and it's important sort of to realize that. And there's some other features when I've spoken to people that make them feel, what do I do with this piece of Torah? And ultimately, it's our job always to try to find a way to clasp tightly to the Torah and to find the meaning in it that is genuine and that's rooted in the Torah, that's intellectually honest, and that still can enlighten us. And thankfully, we've had a lot of sages over the years who have engaged this particular parsha, which is when most rabbis take vacation time. One of the questions that I think has to be dealt with is this: is the Masorah and the Tzara'at, is the leper and this biblical leprosy, is it a natural disease, or is it onesh midea shamayim, or is it divine punishment that comes down from God? And a lot rests in that distinction, a lot about Jewish theology and how we can understand God comes from it. If it's an illness, it would appear to have disappeared from the planet and be gone, because the descriptions in here, from the best of knowledge, I'm looking at my medical professionals over here, from the best of my knowledge, there is really no comparison between what is described in the Torah and our contemporary understanding of disease. And if it is that, though, then we have to wrestle with the fact that the Torah is giving us these sort of distinctions between genders and people, and what do we do with that? It's nice that the illness disappeared. And if it's from the hands of heaven, we have to understand, what do we mean when we say God's involved in this world, when we say that we're to be punished for some of our misdeeds? So I think most of us understand that the way our sages dealt with this section was to quickly turn it from the eruptions of the skin, from this physicality, and turn it into a discussion of motzi shem ra, of lashon hara, and that this illness, divine, is a punishment for those who commit acts of lashon hara. And I want to provide a little bit of background for that. How do they get there? Because sometimes it seems like an interpretation is hanging on by a thread, and we want to understand where it comes from. So the earliest source that I can find which connects biblical leprosy with the way we speak comes from around the 2nd century, 200 of the Common Era, and Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Bar Lakish, who interpreted verse 14:2 that this shall be the law concerning the Mitzorah, that this shall be the law concerning the Motzi Shem Ra, that the person who commits acts of Lashon Hara will suffer the consequences as outlined in the Torah portion. Is that a reasonable read, that taking this one word, Mitzorah, and seeing Motzi, an abbreviation, Motzi Shem Ra? If we look at the Torah in other places, we'll see that Lachish is not necessarily off in the deep end of the pool, because in Exodus 4:1-7, when Moses is questioning whether the people will listen to him as he goes down to Egypt and tries to free them, what does God do with his hand? He turns the hand white, leprous, and then back, and the context is Moses is doubting both the people and God, and the tool to convince them hovers around speech. In Numbers 12, of course, we're probably most familiar with Miriam, and when Miriam is speaking poorly of Moshe's Cushite wife and questioning the legitimacy of his leadership, she explicitly, the Torah, you know, immediately links that to her being stricken with this illness and being forced to leave the camp for a week or so before she can be brought out. But there are other examples that are tied in Genesis 12:17 and Samuel and Chronicles and Kings. So when Resh Lakish says this, he's got really good evidence that this biblical leprosy seems to be connected with a physical ailment. And so it's not just a stretch or a way to teach us a beautiful lesson. It's really a way in which I think that he's reading the Torah very, very quickly, very closely, excuse me. And that shows a certain sort of intellectual honesty. As our sages down the ages dealt with this sort of notion, right? Rambam, says that this biblical leprosy is a positive commandment, and the positive part of the commandment is to remember what happened to Miriam. So that, separate and apart from whether I will be stricken because of my speech, I have an obligation to remember when Miriam suffered because of the way she spoke about Moses and his wife. And that's an interesting notion, that this is a positive mitzvah. But we also have to remember that Rambam is our preeminent medieval doctor. In addition to being a pretty learned guy in Judaics, he wrote about 8 texts on medicine. We have most of them. Fred Rosen, I believe, is the author. If you ever want to read medieval medical tomes, don't try that at Zoom. But or maybe there's actually some good advice in there. I don't know. But Rambam, right, mentions this and says that this is not an infectious disease, right? Even though there's this sense of bedewed, of quarantine, or of isolation, it's quite clear to him that clothing and houses would not be stricken with what is described in the Torah from any natural ailment that he was familiar with. I think a lot of us, when we read that, we think about mold that became big in the news maybe a decade ago. And Rambam says, no, this is not something natural. This is above nature. This is God's presence into the world. And I think that there's something rather remarkable in there that is initially troublesome. What sort of a God tries to teach us by punishing us in that way? But there's a deeper message if we look at Rambam himself. Rambam, as we know, often said the Torah was written in the language of human beings and given in a particular time and place in a way that people could understand. So he said, for example, that the sacrificial system was always meant to be eliminated, but that had God done that and given a Torah which forbade animal sacrifice when everyone was involved, no one would have clung to the Torah, no one would have listened to God, and this whole enterprise that we are on for 4,000 years would have been in jeopardy. So God includes sacrifice in the Torah, knowing that the plan was always to eliminate it. So how does that connect us with this notion here? Rambam offers us a powerful notion that things in the Torah may become obsolete by God's plan. And what we can say about this strange biblical illness is that nobody has encountered it for thousands and thousands of years. Since the end of the biblical period, there has been no evidence of this punishment by divine hand. And I find that powerful. If the sacrificial system, the very central cult of Judaism, could be aimed to be removed, according to Rambam, then why not for this as well? And what I think it shows is an evolution of God's trust or faith in us, or understanding of how we need to respond. So there is no doubt that everyone at times says things they wish they could take back. There's no doubt that people say things which others misunderstand. There's no question that Lashon Hara can be very dangerous for communities and keeping them strong. All of those things are simultaneously true, but the way to try to rectify that, the Torah, by the elimination of this disease ever since the time of the Bible, shows us a different way, which is not to isolate people, to quarantine them, but to bring them back into the fold of community. Shabbat Shalom.